friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Big day, big doings in Cleveland. Guardians getting ready to play the Tigers. If they lose, season's over. Great season, though. Very, very fun. We'll see. If they win, game three tomorrow, winner moves on. And the Browns deciding that Dylan Gabriel will be a better option for them as the starting quarterback in London against the Vikings than Joe Flacco. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I am Jeff Phelps. This is not Andy Baskin. It's Dan Menigan.
Take the fan with you wherever you go. Listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And also, if you missed us during the day, you can always use the rewind function on the Odyssey app or catch us on our podcast. You can find those at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. We're right there. Give us a listen.
As you were heading in for the game today, I hope we did a good job getting you ready for it between all the baseball talk and the traffic updates. And hopefully that's all cleared up and everybody's in the stadium without too many issues. The Browns announcing their decision with a press release before Kevin Stefanski spoke today, which is interesting. Kevin chose not to make any announcement on Monday, whatever reason he didn't have to, but we all kind of, when he didn't commit to Joe Flacco, we kind of thought, okay, they're going to make
something
a change
smells
of quarterback.
Here. Yep.
Yeah, they're going to make a change of quarterback.
Here's your indications.
Kevin did speak today, and he talked about why Dylan Gabriel is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Excited for Dylan. He's handled everything really well since he's been on campus here. We're just going to have to support the young man, coaches, players, offense, defense, special team.
Support the young man. Isn't that funny? I think that's funny. Let's support the young man.
Going to need everybody pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
One behind another. Left hand over right hand.
Now, the Browns have a record of 1-3.
In unison.
Their point totals, is it bad that they're so easy to memorize that I have? 16, 17, 13, and 10 in the four games.
It's a little sad that you have that memorized.
I have it memorized.
More that you have that memorized, which there might be an intervention coming on that one.
Might be.
But also the fact that right now, those numbers are pathetic. I mean, they're just pathetic. There's no other way to put it.
And see, let me take that and turn it into this. A lot of folks, and a lot of folks who we respect. Daryl said he wouldn't have made the move now. You wouldn't have made the move
now. I wouldn't have made it now.
I would. And the reason that I would make the move now, Dylan's not going to play any worse than Joe Flacco has. And the offense isn't going to play any worse than it has with Joe Flacco at quarterback. That's on the offense. It's not on Joe. So I don't have a problem making the move after four games and a record of 1-3 and an offense that hasn't put up more than 17 in a game. Kevin Stefanski on why making that quarterback move now was the thing to do.
I think the big thing for me is we need to all be better. We need to coach better. We need to block better, catch better, run better, all of the above. We need to be better. And I know the quarterback position gets quite a bit of scrutiny. I understand that. But this is about our entire team playing better.
Okay, so what did Kevin tell you about why make the move now? Nothing.
We need to make sure that we wipe down the equipment in the weight room better. We need to make sure when we throw our trash into the trash can and we miss, we go and pick it up or make the shot a little bit better. We need to make sure that we clean our plates better before we put them up for someone else to wash them later. We just need to have everything get better.
That was half Coach Kevigan there. That was half Coach Kevigan.
Well, some of it has become
it was the snarky comment without the snarky voice.
Some Coach Kevigan really is the Kev and the Menigan. There's a little of each.
If you know what we don't know is what marching orders the front office and the coaching staff have been given for this season. You know, that's big picture here. You know, was it, hey, we're going to take a quarterback next year, and so, you know, you're safe for next year? Or, hey, you better win some games this year or you're not going to be here next year. We don't know if they've been given any orders from, you know, or any symbols, any signs like that, win or you're out, or, hey, don't worry about it because you're back next year. And that might play into this whole decision.
You and I have said the writing is on the wall from the very beginning.
As soon as they made the trade.
As soon as they've traded down from the second overall pick, the writing was on the wall that this was a multi-year retool, if you
and
prefer that term, to rebuild.
Taking quarterbacks next year.
And they're going to take a quarterback next year. And so I think what this is your backup quarterback of 2026, 2027 is currently getting some reps in right now so that he can either A, be for sure the backup quarterback, B, be the starting quarterback, which puts you in a really interesting position that you could take some other positions of need,
yes,
or C, and probably the other part of it, they bring in a whole different group of people to come in here. But they're probably looking at this and going, look, if this is heading south and we all think this is going to head south, let's get our backup some reps due to the fact that he's going to be here next year because he's cheap and he can understand the system and maybe he could be an aide to Lenora Sellers or Garrett Nussmeier or Drew Aller or the kid from Oregon can't come out yet or whomever you want to point to.
But here's the other thing.
Or Arch or whatever quarterback du jour you like.
I think another factor that goes into this, why make the quarterback move now, and I don't think this will happen, is this gives Gabriel and maybe eventually Sanders, but Gabriel for now, if he goes out and plays well and keeps playing well, he's going to have 13 games.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sample size.
And there's a very, I'll call it an outside shot, that he can go ahead and say, hey, look, you don't need to draft a quarterback. I can be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say he goes out, plays well, they win some games. And all of a sudden, the Browns are drafting, and let's not get carried away. Let's say the Browns are drafting 10th next year, and the Jaguars are drafting 13th. Well, that might not be high enough to get the quarterback you want, or the next quarterback you want, or the third quarterback you want. And just because you have two first-round picks doesn't mean somebody's going to trade you the pick that it's going to take to get the quarterback you want. So you might as well try and find a guy and see if a guy can play. And I think that's what they're going to try and do. Dylan Gabriel is the beneficiary of this right now. He is the starting quarterback for Minnesota. He met with the media. First question, he was asked about being named the starter.
From the beginning, it's the moment you look forward to as a competitor. But, you know, it's part of my job, you know, to be ready, to be that sense of hope for everyone, to continue to be better and come together and create momentum for each other. So excited for that, but just also extremely focused at doing my job at a high level.
Guy sounds like the real deal. That means nothing. But he certainly does not seem overwhelmed at the idea of being a starting quarterback. And probably for good reason, he started more college football games than any quarterback ever. 64 college starts.
He's also older than your typical rookie quarterback is going to be.
He's not like 21-year-old Jackson Dart.
Yeah, he's close to 25. I mean, at that age, you've seen some things. You've understood some things. You have a better understanding of life than somebody who's coming in who's 20, 21, 22. You have a better understanding of some things. So you're going to sound a bit different. You're right. He sounds like a leader, but we live in Cleveland, Ohio. We've been through this for 26 years. We've had quarterbacks sound like leaders. We've had quarterbacks sound like, you know, they have no idea what's going on. We've had quarterbacks that have a serious grasp of an offense, and we've had quarterbacks that never opened a playbook. You've heard it all. You've had quarterbacks that curse. You've had quarterbacks that speak as cleanly as humanly possible. We've heard it all. You've heard yelling and screaming. You've heard people who whisper.
Gabriel was asked about being ready for this moment. And again, Dan just mentioned he's older than most guys, you know, at this point as a rookie. He's played parts of 6 years in college football, 5 years as a starter, two at UCF, mm-hmm, two at Oklahoma, the last one at Oregon. Huge touchdown, 155. I think it's the most touchdowns ever thrown by a college quarterback. This doesn't mean that it's going to translate to the NFL. Think of Case Keenum. Think of Colt McCoy. guys who were really successful as college quarterbacks and then were okay.
Every Hawaii quarterback.
And every Hawaii quarterback.
Yeah.
But Gabriel, on getting ready for this moment, starting quarterback in the NFL.
A lot of walkthroughs, a lot of meetings you got to be really tuned into. And then, you know, I think just you look at all the work from beginning of OTAs and rookie minicamp to now, I think that's all installation that you can really pride yourself on and the reps built up. So moments, you know, that build up and then to get here, but extreme focus on just doing my job at a high level and continue to do that for one another.
I will say, I like the way he's looked in the limited times we've seen him. You know, he had bad interception in the preseason. Okay, well, you're working on things in the preseason. Also had some moments in the preseason that were pretty good. And then the drive right down the field against Baltimore, that was nice.
But it's the preseason. You know, well, you take everything with a grain of salt.
The regular season activity, though, I thought looked good.
Yeah, that did look good. Yeah. Now, again, granted, prevent defenses and, you know, everybody kind of going at, okay, run the clock out speed. You know, we're going to play hard because we're going to put this on tape. But alas, we're, you know, kind of running out the clock on top of it. It was one of those things. It's nice to see him do it. I want to see it for a full game. Jeff, I want this guy to be good. I want this guy to be good. It would make things so much easier if they somehow fell into a quarterback in the third round. It would make it that you could
stunning
that you could maybe find yourself to a Jeremiah Smith in the first round of next year and get your premier numero uno holy mackerel wide receiver. The same way that you could look at and get your premier numero uno left tackle and stop playing the DeJuan Jones. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay in shape? Can he do all of those things? And it would happen to DeJuan is a bummer. It would be awesome if you could put yourself in that situation where everything falls into place, and now we can supplement the roster because we have the quarterback. It would be fantastic. It's unlikely, but it would be fantastic if that ended up being the case.
The guy who does not get the spotlight here spoke with the media as well. Joe Flacco started the first four games. Joe threw the second most passes in the NFL. Had the second worst completion percentage. We've mentioned that numerous times. This is Joe Flacco on being told that he's no longer the starting quarterback.
I think the tougher thing is just going through what we've gone through the last 4 weeks and just not being able to produce the way we've wanted to. You know, listen, when you're in the moment and you're having conversations with people, it is what it is. You look people in the eye and you tell them how it is, and that's what it is.
That's the way you'd expect Joe Flacco to handle a situation like this. Let's follow that up with, did he expect this?
I don't think I foresaw it. Anytime you're in this league, I mean, everybody's always getting evaluated, and you know, the job of a quarterback is to help your team win football games. So I don't know if I foresaw it coming, but listen, me and Kevin can have a good conversation. It wasn't like it was anything super long or drawn out like that, but got to the point and had a good conversation with him about it, and it is what it is.
That was Joe Flacco. What do you think, folks? Browns are going with the rookie quarterback, 216-474-0092. We'll hear more from Stefanski when we come back. We'd love to hear from you. Dylan Gabriel going up against the Minnesota Vikings. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
We have to be better, and that's the we in this thing. So obviously expect Dylan to play well, but we have to be good around him.
Kevin Stefanski, will Dylan Gabriel provide a spark? By God, we sure hope so, because that offense can't score just like the Guardians, but it's going to change. Both things are changing. Guardians will score runs, and the Browns will score points. could bring up a whole segment. Why are they called a run? But we'll get into that. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over here is Dan Menigan.
Sports Talk on 92.3 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You cannot count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Dylan Gabriel will start against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm anxious to see it. I didn't want to see Joe Flacco starting at quarterback for this team at the beginning of the year, and I don't want to see him starting the rest of the year. So I hope that Dylan Gabriel can go out and do a good job. That's nothing against Joe. Joe did a fine job here a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and I just didn't think he was anybody's answer to what could help this team in any which way, except maybe just being a consultant, and that's not what he wants to be. He doesn't want to be a quarterback coach in the quarterback room with the other guys. He wants to play, but that didn't make any sense to me. And now they've made the move after four games. So Kevin Stefanski obviously must think Dylan Gabriel is ready to go. He was asked about that, and here's how he responded.
From the second he's been here, he's been working very hard, very intelligent young man. He's done a nice job throughout practice. This whole season, he's been learning how to get yourself ready and understand the rhythm of an NFL week and what that looks like as a backup, and now feel like he's ready to go in as a starter.
This is why I have no issue whatsoever with the way that the season has played out when it's come to the quarterback position. Is exactly what Kevin Stefanski said there. It is a different animal when football is a part of your day versus football being your job. And as much as we all want to sit here and crack jokes about modern college football and the fact that these guys are now getting name, image, and likeness and are getting paid from the universities and all that kind of stuff, and we want to say that it's different, it's not. They're still having to attend some level of school. There are still restrictions of the amount of practice time and the amount of prep time and all of that kind of stuff that are involved. The NFL is a different animal. You are no longer going against people who are going to be accountants and lawyers and doctors and architects and everything else that takes place in college and art history majors and whatever else. You are going up against people who football is their job. Football is their life. Football is what they do. And their primary goal is football. It's a different animal. It's why all of these guys should have sat. And that's why I am perfectly fine with them starting Joe Flacco. And I would have been perfectly fine if they would have said, hey, we're rolling Joe Flacco back out. And that's why I'm perfectly fine with Dylan Gabriel starting this game on top of it, because at least he's had some exposure to that level of commitment to his sport.
One thing that Kevin made sure that he kind of pointed out was that he decided to make the move. He decided this. Now, that is something that you can debate. We will debate it after Kevin says why he decided to make the move.
Yeah, just my decision where I felt this decision was best for the football team.
No insight there.
No, he's not going to give you any. This is Kevin Stefanski. He could get hired by Area 51 and do pressers tomorrow, and it'd be the same amount of information.
That's a really great point. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing of it is, I don't think he needs to say that he made the move. If it's not groupthink, I think it should be, if you want to know the truth. I really do. I mean, you have an entire organization. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't just come down to the one guy. I know he's the head coach, but it shouldn't come down to the one guy. You know, we hear all the time, well, baseball managers don't make out their lineups, blah, 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 blah. It's the analytics and everything else and blah, 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 blah. As much money as they spend on players and everything in the NFL, they should have more than one opinion. So I'm sure Kevin had consultations.
I'm sure there was a crowdsourcing.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm just now curious to see it on the football field. And what can they do, folks, to maximize Dylan Gabriel here and maximize his opportunity to succeed? You have one very, I have the same word in mind, Dano. Go ahead. How do they do it?
Oh, I was going to run back to you saying this offense was stuck in the mud. And I wonder if Kevin Stefanski looked over after the Lions game and said, I'm about to lose my defense if I don't do something. Because we've all seen it before where you get these defenses that start rolling and the other side of the ball falls apart and then the defense just kind of goes, what's the point?
We've had enough.
What's the point? I can three quarters this and we could be a league average defense and that's fine because it doesn't matter. But no, the solution of what you're talking about and the direction this needs to go and how you help him win, it's simple. It's what Alex Boone has told us. It's what Doug Deacon told us for years and years and years. It's what John Greco has told us more times than it can count. It's what Joe Thomas has called us.
You've mentioned
how do you help a rookie quarterback? Run the ball.
There it is.
Run the ball.
Run.
Yep. How do you help your offensive line? You run the ball. How do you hide some of your offensive line's problems? You run the ball. It's that easy. I hope Kevin Stefanski looks himself in the mirror and says that to himself of like, I got to get back to running the ball. I need to hammer home running the ball. Because even with a 10-point deficit in that game, that doesn't mean you sit back and throw it three times. It means you could still run your offense of running the ball, setting a play action, and going from there.
The issue here is this, too. I would think you're going to see differences when it comes to passing totals and rushing totals. But even if you don't, Dan, you can position your offense in a way that gives the impression, gives the other defense the thought that, boy, this is run first. I rarely got that when Flacco was on the field. And even when Judkins came back, I was kind of getting the feel that it's pass first. You can still have Dillon Gabriel throw 30 to 35 passes in a football game if the defense is concerned that you are going to run the football down their throats and you do it often enough that that's what they have to try and defend first, taking some of the attention away from the quarterback and a weak set of wide receivers, especially with Cedric Tillman not out there, and make them think you are going to run the football.
And a cavalcade of rookies.
And hopefully you do run the football. But
how do you slow the game down? Run the ball. Everybody will tell you it is a solution to everything. It's what the Browns need to do. If you're going to rely on your defense, what's the second part of relying on your defense? Having an offense that can stay on the field long enough to give your defense a rest. How do you make sure you have that? Run the ball. It all comes back to that simple idea, and I hope that's what they do. I hope Kevin Stefanski goes, all right, we need to start getting a few more runs in here. We need to, and more than anything, and this is where I'm going to really sound like old man Madigan here, get him under center. It's so much easier to sell run fakes if you're under center. It's so much easier on your running back to run the ball if you're under center. Get back under center. You're seeing it around the league. More and more teams are starting to kind of even move away from the shotgun. You're seeing Matthew Stafford and the Rams get back under center.
Yeah.
Get back under center.
And Matthew lit it up last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had a really good game. I wonder what they do at wide receiver here. And keep in mind, Jerry Jeudy is their top wide receiver. I'm not going to give numbers to these guys, but Jerry's had some real issues so far. Cedric Tillman is a guy I like, but he's a young guy, and he's had some injury issues, and now he's out. He's on the IR, so he's out four games. Is Isaiah Bond ready to step up?
Better now than never.
Daryl Ryder didn't think so. I'm anxious to see. Daryl knows more about what's going on out there than we do because we're sitting here. Daryl doesn't think so. I wonder, do you try and force feed him? Is Jamari Thrash out there for more? I mean, this is where you are, Dan.
Wouldn't you try to force feed Jerry Jeudy to begin with? Seeing as though
I would try to, except for one thing. The last thing I think that Dillon Gabriel needs to try to do is force feed anybody.
I was going
to
say, is it the fact that to complete a pass, one must throw the ball and then one must catch the ball?
Yeah.
Catch the ball has become a little tough.
I think the team needs to run the offense that they want to run and not do anything to force anything out there other than, hey, here comes our offense. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And then run the balance type of offense that I think they're hoping to have and put Dillon Gabriel in positions to succeed. And by trying to force feed the ball to your top receiver, I don't think you're doing that. Now, that said, I would hope that Jerry Jeudy gets open, and I would hope that Dillon Gabriel makes those throws. So, and that's the way that's supposed to work.
So if you're the Browns then, do you, in this game, is this, for lack of better terminology, is this the kitchen sink game? Like, if you're Kevin Stefanski, are you going, all right, let's get Isaiah Bond on some end-arounds and start using some of that speed. let's bring in maybe a couple more of the tight end screens, wide receiver screens. Is this the full blown, like, let's do everything we can to get the ball in the hands of the position players in various ways that either involve simple throws for the quarterback or no throw from the quarterback? Are you going kitchen sink?
No.
Okay.
What I am doing is I am going to play to what I think is the strength of my football team. And that is I'm going to turn around and hand the ball off. And I'm going to have my running back, more than likely Quinshon Judkins, running behind the trio of Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, and Wyatt Teller. And I'm going to tell those guys who have all been really good in the NFL, go, run block, make some holes, let them go.
Yeah.
And if I get 2 yards on first down, I'm going to run it again on second down. And when I'm on third and five, I'm going to run it again. And then if I get 3 yards and I'm fourth and two and I'm near midfield, I'm going to run it again. I'm going to run the football. And then the minute that the Vikings are like, oh, man, they're running the football. Oh, play action. Look, there's a pass to Harold Fannin over the middle. I think this team has to establish an identity. It doesn't have one on offense. The identity on offense is it's not good. That's the identity. So not good.
So you're coming in saying I'm treating this like it's the Kansas City Chiefs with Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles. But we're just going to bust it and run it and run it again and run it again. And then maybe we'll allow a quarterback to debate throwing it.
Yes.
But then we're going to run it again.
You know what would be a great game? And I'm not ruling out the chance that the Browns could go to London and win this football game.
Me neither.
You know, the Vikings have not been terrific so far this year.
Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback.
If Dylan Gabriel can throw 25 or fewer passes. Think about it, though. And I'm not saying hold him to that or limit him to that. What I'm saying is if you're running the ball well enough that you don't have to throw more than 20, 25 passes, that's a recipe for a win.
Somewhere TJ Yates is smiling as he's turning around and handing it to Arian Foster again.
216-474-0092, the number to join us. Brown's making the big move. We'll see how it pays off. I'd love your thoughts on it. Right time, right move, right guy. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan in for Andy.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.